Zechariah chapter 8, and we read from verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in, because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people, as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. So we pray again that God will bless to us those verses which will come before us this evening. Just a short recap, as usual, to link us up with the previous sermon. Then it was that we went through verses 1 to 8 of this chapter, first examining the meaning of the word jealousy. Is that which requires true devotion, to anxiously watch over one's rights. It is the attitude of a true lover. And I said that the jealousy of God is a quality of both love and righteousness. His love for his people is such that he demands of them absolute faithfulness. Verse 3 then took us on to the Lord returning to this remnant who had come back out of Babylon. And in this connection, we turned to many scriptures, you will remember. Then verses 4 and 5 gave us a very human and telling picture of the favor of God being restored to Judah and to Jerusalem. Such a sharp contrast to the horrors and the atrocities of war and of captivity which had befallen them on account of their own sin and disobedience. Again, did we consult a number of other scriptures in order to span the years of their going into exile to this restoration, as is being depicted in Zechariah's day. Verse 6 spoke of the marvel of this, that such a wayward people could be restored. Then we came to the spiritual aspect of this, as we saw it to be emblematic of greater things. So we projected on to the gospel days and to the New Testament age. Men and women coming from the ends of the earth, north, south, east, and west, and they will sit down, ultimately, they will sit down with the true seed of Abraham in the kingdom of heaven, whilst the apostate Jews, who were never men of true faith, they with all others, Gentiles, all other unregenerate, they will be cast into outer darkness, as is clearly set out in Matthew 8, verses 11 and 12. But all the redeemed of the Lord, from Abel to the end of human history, being brought to that Jerusalem without walls, symbolic, of course, the spiritual habitation of Zion, that Zion which is above, that place wherein dwelleth righteousness. And God will be our God, and we shall be his people. So this brought us to the end of verse 8. We now move on to verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. Although the building of the temple was now in an advanced state, it still was not completed. As we have seen from our study in the book of Haggai, together with the many references to the historical books of Ezra and Nehemiah, the zeal of these Jews, this returning remnant, had constantly flagged. And so often did these two prophets have to rebuke and stir up and encourage these people. And so it is again here. Zechariah says, let your hands be strong, saith the Lord of hosts. Don't slack. Continually have you heard such words from us prophets, particularly Haggai. Well, now he is gone. His voice is no longer heard, but his words live on. Call to mind all the instruction, the exhortation given to you when you laid the foundations. And now show diligence and get the work finalized. This is the message. And I must bring in verse 10 and link it with verse 9. For before these days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in, because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. You see, on account of their slackness and their neglect of duty to get on with their task of rebuilding, God, in keeping with his moral law and with his righteous government, he had brought adversity upon them, just as he ever had done upon Israel, if they disobeyed and defected. So it was with this remnant. Turning to Nehemiah again, chapter 4, verse 7, we read these words. And it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired, all of them together, to come in to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. And added to this outside interference, there was internal trouble. These Jews were at variance the one with the other. Everyone against his neighbor, we have read. Everyone against his neighbor. Well, such a state of disorder from within and without brought about privation and shortages, which they obviously would, as stated in Haggai's prophecy, which we considered many months ago, chapter 1 and verse 6. Ye have sown much, bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You see, now these scriptures help us to understand verse 10 of our chapter. Before these days, that is the present, the actual time when Zechariah was speaking, in past years, in which you were careless and neglectful of your God-given task, you remember what happened. There was no peace. The Samaritans, the Arabians, the Ammonites, they constantly molested you. It was not safe for you to go out. And added to this, you were squabbling among yourselves. Consequently, your prospect, and you could not employ anyone because you could not afford to. You couldn't afford the wages. And neither had you the money to hire a beast. Now, your remnant, call to remembrance those words which were spoken by the mouth of former prophets. They all spoke with one voice, that if there was departure from God's laws and will on the part of his people, then trouble and chastisement would ensue. Call to mind the words of your former prophet Haggai, only a few years ago, and consider your ways. Now, that which I have said should help us to see something of the meaning of verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear these days these words by the mouth of the prophets. In other words, learn your lesson, Judah. Be instructed by the past, and now be diligent in your task. Let your hands be strong and bring this work to completion. Verse 11. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in former days, saith the Lord of hosts. Mark the words. The Lord of hosts is speaking. He says, I'll not be unto the residue. Now, he's not talking about the Jews down in Babylon, and he's not talking about the 10 tribes which many years previously had been scattered abroad. He's speaking to the residue. I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. Now, these verses must not be isolated from their context, which is, let your hands be strong, hear the words of the prophets, then I will not be unto the residue of this people as in former days. You shall have prosperity. You shall have favor. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. Now, there was nothing new in this. It was but God's law and ruling given to Israel by the Almighty at the first through Moses. Let me remind you of it. As is recorded in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verses 3 and 6, 3 to 6. Leviticus 26, verse 3. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield her fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely, and I will give peace in the land. Now, that is the positive aspect of God's law. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 18 to 20, give us the other side. Same chapter, verse 18. If ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. That is the negative aspect. And Judah was in possession of that law. They knew it. They knew it to be a divine principle. And it still is today. Disregard the will of God, and we forfeit his favor. It's a divine principle. Seek to be obedient to his mind and will, and his blessing will rest upon us. Now, it may not be in an increase of bread and of fruits, meaning material prosperity. For remember, Israel was an earthly people, taking the nation in its aggregate. They were an earthly people, chosen of God amongst the nations, maybe. They were chosen of God out of the nations, but to typify a spiritual people. And not all the national Israel were the true Israel of God. Only a remnant ever were. They ever were, in the main, apostates. And so, being an earthly people, you see, they had the promise of earthly blessings, but it was all typical. And so many of their blessings were earthly. But as one has said over and over again, the earthly Israel and the earthly Jerusalem is set in Holy Scripture to typify the spiritual. And it is in the spiritual sense that that divine principle holds today. The blessing and the favor of God will be upon the man and the woman who seeks to walk in the path of his commandments and who has respect unto his word. Now let me draw special attention to the latter part of verse 12. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. By the metaphor of material things, God, through his prophets, is setting forth great spiritual truth and blessing. Now, I want to draw your attention for a few moments to the 34th chapter of the book of the prophet Ezekiel. And in chapter 34 of Ezekiel, reading from verse 23, we get these words. Listen carefully. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord. the Lord God. A plant of renown is one day to be raised up. It's a lovely term. A plant of renown is to be raised up. Well, who is he, we might ask? Well, another prophet, he tells us, Isaiah. And in chapter 53, in verse 2, we read, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. He shall grow up before God the Father as a tender plant. Well, he is the branch of righteousness, of whom Jeremiah wrote. That man who's come before us in previous studies, that man whose name is the branch, a plant of renown indeed. And this man, says Ezekiel, this plant of renown, this man that will be raised up, he will be set up as one shepherd. Now, he is the only true shepherd, dear one. There is no other true shepherd in Holy Scripture. He is the great shepherd of his chosen flock. And he will feed his people, says the Scripture. He will be a prince unto them. He will break the bands of their yoke. And they are to be my flock. And I am to be your God, saith the Lord God. Ah, there is to be showers of blessing, says Ezekiel. There's a day coming when there will be showers of blessing. This plant of renown will be raised up. He will be the one shepherd, the good shepherd, the true shepherd, the great shepherd. When that day comes, says Ezekiel, there will be showers of blessing. These prophets were looking far beyond earthly things. As inspired by the third person of the Godhead, they wrote these words. They were looking far beyond Israel, Judah, or the remnant. There is a spiritual remnant, and it is this remnant which I will cause to possess all these things. Now, have we not seen all this before in other of the Old Testament prophets? Let me remind you, going back over the years to when we were coming through the book of Hosea. In chapter 2 and verse 21 we read, and it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Joel again, chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month, 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now this saw the commencement of its fulfillment at Pentecost. Peter said so. It's no good the dispensation was talking. Peter said so in Acts chapter 2. God coming out in showers of blessing. Latter rain in very truth. As the plant of renown, the good shepherd who had given his life for the sheep was now not only to be preached in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, but unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And says verse 21 of Acts chapter 2, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, brethren and sisters, let me impress upon you that these blessings vouchsafed to the earthly Israel go far beyond the confines of Jewry. Under the imagery of temporal things, there is revealed to us the spiritual. The remnant of Judah but prefigures the remnant elected to eternal blessing through God's sovereign grace. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things, says our verse. All these things, in their full and final meaning, pertain to Christ and to the new covenant, not to the earthly, in their final. The Bible tells us of two very perplexed disciples. If they had lived in our day, they would have been classed as dispensationalists. They would have been in that section of Christendom. The Lord had been put to death, and he was now buried. Unknown to them, he'd risen from the dead. And he had actually met up with these two men on their road to Emmaus. They didn't know who he was. They got into conversation. And these two men, they tell this stranger their problem. And their problem was concerning a man named Jesus from the village of Nazareth. He was a mighty prophet, said they. He was a mighty prophet before God and all the people. But the chief priests and our rulers, they've condemned and crucified him. Well, you know, we had great confidence in this man. We even trusted that he was the one who would have redeemed Israel and liberated us from Roman jurisdiction, restoring unto us the kingdom of Israel. Now, this is true dispensational belief. Got it today, plenty of it. A full restoration of a Jewish kingdom upon earth with Christ reigning as an earthly monarch. Well, such people are just like these two fellers on the Emmaus Road, just the same. Such people see nothing other than the earthly and the material in the Old Testament prophecies. Their sights go no higher than just the material. Well, let me say right now that those aspects of prophecy are now history. They're past, it's all over, it's not future. The earthly aspects are now history. And it is but the spiritual aspects which are now present and future. How did the Lord deal with these two sincere but misguided disciples? How did the Lord deal with them? Verse 25 of Luke 24. Then he, that is the Lord Jesus, said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. These two fellows were so foolish. They were so foolish, the Lord said so. They had read the prophets. They knew the content of the prophetic writings. Yet they had never seen the real truth which lay behind it all. Slow in the uptake indeed, as the Lord said. Then did the Lord begin with Moses and all the prophets. Oh, he didn't pass over the minor prophets, as the major part of the Christians do today, saying that's Jewish, that's not for the church. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, going through them all, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Very important. The things concerning himself, the mediator of the new covenant, who had so clearly stated that his kingdom was not of this world. These two men had heard those words, you know. Clearly told them. And so the Lord expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, what about the Jews? Well, what about them? What about the Jews? The Lord never mentioned them. But why? Because they and all that pertain to them belong to the old covenant. That was earthly. That was material. That only prefigured the new, that better covenant of which Christ was the mediator. So in expounding Moses and the prophets, Christ spoke not of the earthly, for that was now forever done away with. He spoke of the things concerning himself. In verses 44 and 45 of Luke 24 reads, And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you whilst I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of the prophet of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. These are the words which I spake unto you, said Christ. This is how I interpret the scriptures. Oh, how important this is. This is how the Lord interpreted the scriptures. That all which is written in Moses and the prophets concerns me. It is not the reinstating of Jewry. Or Judaism. And then did the Lord open their understanding so that they rightly understood his word, which in their full and true meaning are concerned with a spiritual kingdom and not an earthly. Now look at verse 13 in conclusion. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. In past years, as we have come through these little books, we have seen how God has dealt with the sins of Jacob. We see how God has dealt with the sons of Jacob. First, the scattering of the 10 tribes at the north, but the sparing of the 2 at the south. We saw this forcibly as we came through Hosea, chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7 read, this is God speaking, I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. Now that's a plain statement. I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. Well, over 100 years passed, and Judah went the same way. Consequently, Judah was taken into Babylon. And in this sense, both Israel and Judah became a curse, as is stated in the verse before us. Jeremiah 24 and verse 9, I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. They both became a curse in this sense. God said, I'll make them that. But now the sentence is reversed. I will save you, says our verse 13. But the 10 tribes had no share in these blessings. 10 tribes had no share into the blessings which were promised to this small minority of Judah who had come out of Babylon. And neither did the majority of Judah who had stayed in that heathen land. Therefore, this promised blessing of being saved must be spiritual, which of course it is. It is salvation, it is being saved through Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. And in him there is salvation for all who repent and believe, whether Jew or Gentile. And they come into these blessings through the new covenant and not through a revival of the old. But more of this we shall see next time, God willing. Next week our brother Mr. Stanbury will be with us, but a fortnight tonight, God willing, we'll see more of this. And may all that has come to us thus far be to our spiritual edification and most of all for God's glory. Amen. Hymn number 270. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sin release us. Let us find our rest in thee. 270.
Release.
Father God, we pray that thou wilt commend thy blessing upon thy sacred word. We bless thee for it, for the instruction, the edification that it is to us, stabilizing us in our walk, fortifying us in our belief, and granting unto us an ever-deepening conviction as to its truth. So dismiss us with thy smile, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus, and thy love, O God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us until that glad day of eternal glorification. Amen.